Welcome to Gracious Words. Gracious Words is taken from the weekly women's Bible study taught by Cheryl Broderson at Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California.
We behold your glory, God, in the face of Christ. It shows us who you are.
The word blessing is one that we are very familiar with, but what does it actually mean? On today's program, we'll learn about blessings, what they are, how we receive them, and how we give them. And now here is part one of Cheryl's message titled, What's a Blessing?
And so we're going to go ahead, and this is our last study in Genesis. Can you believe it? We've been through 50 chapters together. We've done this together separately. That's how we've done it. But God is faithful. He's spoken to us his word, his lasting word, which is for all of us. And yet the word is so individualized, isn't it? It's the corporate word of God. It's saying the same message, and yet it hits us in different spots right where we need it. I love that about the word. All right. So as we come to Genesis chapter 49, we're told that Jacob gathers together all his sons because he wants to bless them. Isn't that exciting? This is a blessing meeting. And I don't know about you, but I want to be blessed. I just love the word blessing. It just is full of so much potential. And I love the idea of blessing. Yes, I'm in. I'm first in line for a blessing. I don't know what it is. I hope it's not fish, but I'm in line for that blessing. I want a blessing on my life. Why? I think it's because we always equate blessing with provision, with prosperity, with purposes realized and a potential reached, but I don't think that we truly, truly understand it biblically. Because biblically speaking, a blessing has to do with God making himself known in our lives. A blessing is bringing someone to the attention of God and God to their attention, bringing the intentions of God to their life. In other words, blessing is not meant to accomplish my will, but that God's will might be realized and brought forth in my life, that his nature and his work and his purposes might be manifested in my life. In Genesis, the word blessed, barak, this Hebrew word barak, is mentioned 48 times. Now, maybe you've heard that blessing means, oh, how happy. That's a different Hebrew word. That's the word isher. And isher is what you have in Psalm 1. Oh, how happy is the man that does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly. But this word barak, or barak, if I was going to try to act like I knew Hebrew, is mentioned, the word blessed, 22 times. Blessing is mentioned 13 times. And blessed is mentioned 48 times. So we understand that the overall theme, the word used more than any other word in Genesis, is this word, barak, or some form of barak. It's to bless, to be blessed. It's the verb. It's the noun. And it's past tense, present tense. And it finds its source in God. God is the first to bless. He blesses his creation. He blesses Adam and Eve because he's a blessing God. All blessings are sourced in God, and all blessings come by way of God. God is good. Therefore, his blessing brings his goodness to our lives. Now, goodness is good unless you're evil. If you're evil, then goodness becomes something harmful to you rather than something beneficial to you. If we are evil, then God's blessing and his goodness becomes a curse rather than a help. Again, God's blessings do not help us achieve our own ends, but they enable us to reach all the potential and good plans that God has for us. God's blessings are not an exemption from hardship, but they bring God's purposes to hardship. They bring God's goodness to even the horrific circumstances and heinous events of our life. God's blessing does not correct or remove the hardship. God's blessing harnesses hardship and makes it bow to the greater purposes of God. A blessing is not always a promise of good, but a blessing can come in the form of a warning. It can speak to us of the nature in us that will keep us from the blessings of God. It is a protective measure often. Recently, I was on a walk with my big old dog, Barnabas. And as we were walking in a nature center, this man came up to me and he said, "I want you to know there's a coyote back there." And to me, that was a blessing. That was a word of blessing because you know what? I amended my path and I did not walk that way with Barnabas, because another word for Barnabas is bait, coyote bait. So we did not walk that trail. We changed our direction. A blessing also can be a challenge. It can be an opportunity or an inspiration. When someone speaks a blessing of your life, it speaks potential, where you can go if you are willing to take God at his word. It is said that D.L. Moody, who was an evangelist around the turn of the century, heard a man say, "The world has yet to see the power of God unleashed in the man who will give himself totally to God." That was a blessing to D.L. Moody. That was an opportunity. And he gave his life fully to God because he wanted to see the power of God unleashed. A blessing can be a conditional promise, but a blessing is always a gift. If we heed it, it's a warning, and then we will be benefited. If we rise to the challenge or promise, we will realize the goodness of God. Ultimately, blessings have to do with bringing us under the watchful care of a great God, bringing us under the covenant blessings. But if you remember, those covenant blessings were also a curse. If you walk with the Lord, you'll be blessed. If you turn from the Lord, you will not be blessed or realize those blessings. Blessing someone is to give someone or something to God, asking God to work his best in their lives. Have you ever had someone speak a word over you that stays with you? It's that word that you can't forget. For some of you, it was a mean word and you cannot let go of it. You can't forget it. It was so mean. It was like, wow, why did they say that? And sometimes when something good happens to you, you're thinking, no, this can't be good, because that word that was spoken, and it tends to derail you in your purposes. It tends to mar even the great things that can happen to you. But a word of blessing is a word that you can't forget. And it might be a word of warning. It might be a word of promise. I was recently reading a biography of Darlene Deibler Rose. She wrote Evidence Not Seen. And when she was serving as a missionary, the Japanese took over the Pacific. She was there during the years of 1939 to 1944. And the Japanese took over the Pacific, and her missionary organization called them back to Indonesia. And she was arrested and put in Japanese POW camp. And there she was for 4 years. But before she had gone into this camp, her supervisor, a man named Dr. Jeffries, a really godly man, had said to her, "Darlene, be a good soldier of the Lord Jesus Christ." That was a word of blessing to her. Through every temptation, through every hardship, it was that word, that phrase, that would speak to her. She was called to be a good soldier of the Lord Jesus Christ. God would give her the strength to be a good soldier of the Lord Jesus Christ. That was a sustaining word, a word that kept her and preserved her during her time of internment and allowed her to come through as a good soldier of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is what we observe when we see how Jacob blessed his sons. In Genesis 49:28, all these are the 12 tribes of Israel. And this is what their father spoke to them. And he blessed them. He blessed each one according to his own blessing. Yet when we read the things that Jacob pronounced over his sons, the majority of what we read doesn't seem necessarily like a blessing. Imagine being told that you were going to a blessing meeting. What comes up in your mind when you think a blessing meeting? What do you expect? What comes to mind? Isn't it the idea of having great things spoken over you? But let's say you go to that blessing meeting and this godly man, a man known for his kindness, you're like, yes, yes, yes. He comes up and he's like, can I bless you? We're like, yes, please. Let's say he puts his hand on you and says, you are a venomous snake hanging out by the side of the road that lethally bites the horse's heel and makes the rider fall off backwards. You're like, thank you so much. I came here, drove 30 miles just to hear that wondrous word. Imagine your dismay. Did he just call you a snake? Not only a snake, you're not like even a king snake. You're not even a gopher snake. You're not even a beneficial snake. You're like a venomous snake. You came to hear a word like, you are a beautiful princess. Your frog will soon turn to a prince as you continue to show him the affection of the Lord. You're like, yes, or your humble home will become a castle. That's what we want to hear. That's what we want to hear. Our dismay has to do with our misunderstanding of what a blessing is. You see, it's a blessing to know there's a venomous snake in your nature. And that venomous snake has to be given to God, because otherwise you have the potential to be lethal. You have the potential to kill, to make people stumble and fall. This gives you an opportunity to know that nature. I think that's the problem with all these personality tests that we take. They're not honest. I know this woman who was like, I took a personality test and I am just a lover. And I was looking at her going, wow, that is never the estimation I would give to you. You know, I think everyone's personalities, this is just something that is not biblical, but I believe everyone's personalities can be found in a Winnie the Pooh book. And I believe you can be a Winnie, that you're just kind of like happy and you're not really aware of everything that's going around you. You can be a rabbit, which means you're like super bossy. You can be an Eeyore that always sees the cup half full. You can be a Roo. You're very motherly and nurturing. Okay, I'm going too far to prove my theory. If you want to know more about these, you read Winnie the Pooh, the original. But I find that so many times these personality tests are only telling us the best about ourselves, but not the honest estimation. You've got the potential in your nature for this. That's a better blessing, because it tells you, you better give that nature to God. You better do this. It invites repentance and dedication to the Lord. I love that, because it tells us that the Word of God, it's a blessing. It's a book of blessing, but also the Word of God honestly assesses the human condition and tells us what our problem is. And it gives us the remedy to that problem. The remedy being, give yourself 100% to the Lord. Let him come in and take authority over that nature. Now in Genesis 49, again, Jacob brings all his sons together that he might bless them. Think about this. All of his life, Jacob had wanted the blessing. For 40 years, he wanted the blessing of his father, a blessing that culturally should go to his older brother. Jacob bargained for this blessing. He deceived for this blessing. He pretended to be somebody else that he might get this blessing. And yet this blessing that he connived and deceived his father for, for a time seemed to be a curse. It drove him from his homeland. It separated him from his father and from his mother. It forced him into a time of forced slavery to his uncle. Yet, it brought to bear the potential of all the promises of God that were given to his grandfather Abraham and to his father Isaac to be realized in his life. Genesis 28:13-15. It didn't come immediately. Those blessings weren't realized immediately. They came sporadically sometimes. They came in the future, but they came. And what we see is God's divine intervention, the blessing of a promise of land, the promise of descendants, the promise that the Messiah of the world would come through Jacob's lineage, the promise of God's presence, and the promise of God's word guaranteed. Now, Jacob wants to give these same promises. He wants to bring all of his sons, all 12 of his sons, under the promises of Abraham into this same covenant. So he calls them together for a blessing meeting. And Jacob called his sons together and said, "Gather together that I may tell you what will befall you in the last days." Now, this phrase, last days, means the time following and does not refer to a specific epoch as much as an unspecified time that will follow. Kind of like we said, in the fall, we will be studying the pastoral epistles. We don't know what day it will start. We have no idea at all. In fact, we are praying and hoping that we get to gather together in the fall, but it's in the future. So I said in the fall, speaking of a time that is not defined completely, but is in the future. So last days, when you come to that phrase, last days in the Bible, it refers to the future. "Gather together and hear, you sons of Jacob, and listen to Israel, your father." Sons of Jacob refers to their natural nature. Israel, your father, refers to the promises and blessings of God. Israel is the covenant name, the name of promise, and it is under this name that the sons would realize the blessing. Even as Jacob could not receive a blessing in his own name, but had to receive the name as he wrestled with God, which signified the change of nature. You see, we can only receive the blessings of God when we are under the authority of God. You know, blessing is not just something that you just get no matter what. Blessings are only yours if you're under the authority of God. For instance, the man might have warned me against the coyote, but if I insisted on going down that path, I had no guarantee against the attack of a coyote. Blessings are only realized when we're under the authority of the God who blesses. Jacob begins with Leah's sons. Reuben is the oldest. And in verses 3 and 4, Jacob says, "You had the potential. You're the firstborn. You were the beginning of my might and strength. You were dignified and excellent in power." Here is all of this potential in Reuben. He's the firstborn. He was meant to have the greatest blessing, the blessing that we'll read that Judah and Joseph later received. It was meant to go to Reuben, but because of his ambition, because of his lust, he was unstable. He could not lead. A leader needed to be stable, needed to be fixed on God so he could lead others and set an example. So he would not excel. Here is both potential and danger. Here is God's intent. His intention was that Reuben would excel, that he would be mighty and strong and dignified and excellent in power. But the object that felled it was his own lust and ambition. Here is a warning, the blessing of a warning. You have the potential. It's still in you to excel, to be dignified. Do not give in to your lust and your ambition. Interesting, when Joshua gave the land to Israel. Reuben chose to settle on the east side of the Jordan and not in the promised land, not in the covenanted land, because he saw that the land in the east was already settled, already conquered, already for farming, and already had towns in it and buildings that they could take over and assume and dwell in. You have Simeon and Levi, instruments of cruelty. Wow, that would be something to hear at a blessing meeting, wouldn't it? Their friendship was not healthy, and it jeopardized the welfare of the nation of Israel. They had already jeopardized the family of Israel, not once, but twice. Once in Shechem, the second time when they were party to selling their brother Joseph to Egypt. They had a problem with anger, fierce, wrath, cruel. In their vengeance, they went too far to overkill. When they avenged, they went beyond vengeance to plundering the people, to capturing the wives. It was wrong. It wasn't just. It was overkill. And so Jacob pronounces the blessing, you're going to be separated. You two are not healthy for each other. So I'm going to separate you. You know, it's interesting because years ago, I recognized that I had a problem with gossip. This is some probably 18 or 19 years ago. I felt the Holy Spirit say, you've been gossiping lately, and that's really displeasing to me. And I said, Lord, you're right. I repent. But there are two women in my life that whenever I talk to them, it goes from zero to gossip in less than 5 seconds. And I don't know how to stop it. I don't know what to do. And the Lord took both of those women out of my life within 3 months. Both were removed. Now I had no excuse. Do not gossip. It was God separating, and it was healthier for them, and it was healthier for me. Simeon and Levi were not good for each other. They needed to be separated. It's interesting, again, when it comes to the land of Israel, Simeon was put in the midst of all the tribes. Like, we're going to watch you. You can't do naughty things. You can't let your anger grow. In fact, his tribe was situated in the middle of the tribe of Judah. Levi then had no certain jurisdiction. In fact, they were scattered throughout the tribes of Israel. Interesting that they were the lawgiver tribe. They were the ones, they were kind of like the police force. God says, I'll put this to good use. We'll make you the police force, and you will give people the law of God and enforce it in the towns wherever you are. But you'll be separated because together you're a little dangerous. It's interesting to note that it was the tribe of Levi that cried for the crucifixion of Jesus. They're the ones who said crucify him and would not be sated with exile or anything less, not with scourging, but with Jesus who had done no evil. They wanted crucifixion. Judah is the next son. Now, this is the blessing you want. Oh, what a blessing. None of Judah's past infractions are mentioned. Don't you love that? Not one. Not, well, you did this. Like Reuben, you slept with Bilhah. Bad. Simeon and Levi, you were angry. You took too much vengeance. Now, we know Judah was complicit in the selling of Joseph. We know that Judah had two evil sons who God slew. We know that Judah was not honest in his dealings with Tamar. And yet none of these are mentioned. In fact, praise awaits his future. There's been such a dramatic change in Judah, probably much like the change that happened to Jacob when he became Israel. Judah now begins to live up to his name, praise.
Isn't it exciting to think that we are blessed? We often equate blessing with prosperity, but it's so much more. Biblically speaking, a blessing is God making himself known to us. It's an opportunity to stop and give attention to God. It allows him to work so that his will might be done in and through our lives, that his nature, work, and purposes would be seen through us. It's incredible to think that the God who created the universe wants to bless us, but he does. May we keep our hearts and minds ready to receive all that He has for us. We hope you have been blessed by today's Bible study. For more information about the Gracious Words radio program and the teaching ministry of Cheryl Broderson, please visit our website at graciouswords.com. Coming up next time on the Gracious Words program, we'll look further into blessings as we continue our series, Our Great Creator, in the book of Genesis with Cheryl Broderson. We do hope you make plans to join us. Again, for more information, please visit our website at graciouswords.com. This program is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California.